Well, that's a cool video. So, who is that? What are we looking at?
This is Sleepless and Grim. This is it's a project of Carlos Santana. I know we brought him up before.
Sure.
He kind of basically brings in new singers for every different song on this project. So as he's compiling new songs for Sleepless and Grim,
sure,
at some point it'll be a full length of all different singers. I mean, he's got his other projects, Never Ender, Hunting with Dick Cheney just ended, and he's been in many other bands.
Yeah.
But this is something that's kind of his own pet project, where he just brings in whoever and puts out a song.
And so, that was catchy. Carlos Santana of Rob Thomas?
No.
Smooth fame? No. Okay. All right.
Which is, and that's why we always
that's
laugh
confusing.
About it. Yeah, that's why we always laugh about it. But Carlos Santana of Brevard County fame.
Oh, that's way better. That's way better.
Sleepless and Grim, the singer on there was April. She's been Some Pretty Flowers was her own solo act. But yeah, she sounds great. Amazing.
Who did the video work?
This guy, Billy.
It's cool animation. I like that.
Yeah.
So Harbor City Local TV, we're back.
Episode 4.
Yeah.
Here with Chad Moses from To Write Love on Her Arms. Welcome, Chad.
Right on. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah. Welcome to the studio.
Yep. Space Coast Podcast, Harbor City Local, To Write Love on Her Arms. It's going to be a good session here.
Yeah.
We'll get to some great information, some other events, and more music towards the end. But let's get into To Write Love on Her Arms. Can you give us an introduction to how it was created?
Totally, yeah. So, hey, everybody, my name is Chad Moses. I serve To Write Love on Her Arms as our director of outreach. And To Write Love on Her Arms, we're a nonprofit organization. We've been around for 16 years now, and we exist to present hope and find help for anyone struggling with mental health challenges like depression, addiction, self-injury, and suicide. And we really aim to build a better bridge to connect people who are looking for help to local and affordable options for that help. So we're not the destination ourselves, we're not the mental health professionals, we're not the treatment center, but we're there to connect some dots. We're there to encourage, to inspire, to inform, and also to invest financially into those avenues that do treatment and recovery work.
Excellent. And you said 16 years now?
We just turned 16. Yeah,
that's
we
amazing.
gonna start hitting the road, driver's license season.
Nice. Yeah, I saw you posting about your anniversary. What was that date again?
So that was March 30th the day that this really kind of started in earnest. And I don't know if right now we want to hop into the entire story, but we call March 30th our birthday.
Excellent. Yeah. And I mean, as much of the story as you want to tell, but it's got to be an interesting situation because it's nonprofit, it's good work, and there's good coming out of it, dealing with, you know, the stress and the understanding of people's everyday lives. So it's a celebration day while you're also engaging these types of situations. How do you, you know, think about, or do you think about that type of duality?
Oh man, all the time. And that's such a great question. I feel like with most nonprofits, the goal is to work yourself out of a job, right? Like, yeah. I would love to wake up tomorrow and be told, look, there's no more need for outreach as it relates to mental health challenges or mental health access. But the reality is, you know, 16 years in, we've come a long way, but how long have people been on the planet, right? Like, these really aren't conversations about combating a disease or a subset of of, you know, pathologies. It's really about relating to people. It's about meeting people wherever they are in the moments of human condition, whether that's celebration or whether that's desolation or whether it's somewhere in between. Like, life is gray. Life is messy. So we're always aware that there's going to be plenty of opportunities both to celebrate how far we've come and also to, you know, lament some real loss. Like, there's pain that happens, and there's no brownie points to be distributed by ignoring that. So we try to lean into it. We try to lean into authenticity and invite some earnest conversation around, if not mental health, and then just what it means to be human.
Yeah, do me a favor, Chad. Remind the audience what your main services are that the nonprofit provides.
Yeah, totally. So like I mentioned earlier, we're there to address a litany of mental health challenges. Our mission statement specifically names depression, addiction, self-injury, suicide. But over the past 16 years, we've really expanded that net into anxiety, into eating disorders and disordered eating, into post-traumatic stress, really anything that is feeling too heavy for you to handle. We're there to say it's okay to ask for help. We're there to say we need you here, that we want to ally with you to make sure that you get the help that you need, that you deserve, and the help that often is available, but maybe there's some barriers in the way.
For somebody listening who may be struggling with any of those, how do they get in touch? How do they seek a service?
Absolutely. So our website is a great central hub for all of that information. So that website is TWLOHA.com. And we know that, you know, just naming a mental health challenge like depression or anxiety, like, those aren't monolithic, that they're going to look different. There's 7.7 billion people on the planet, which means there's going to be 7.7 billion different ways that we express and manifest hurt and joy and community and loneliness. All of these things are unique, but we definitely seen a sort of pattern that with these challenges, depression, addiction, self-injury, suicide, you name it, they really all thrive with a common context, which is isolation, which is feeling that you're in this alone. For some of us, believing the myth that we ought to get through it by ourselves, that we're a burden to other people. So we're there to dismantle that stigma. And I'll get to your question momentarily. But for us, if isolation really is the key culprit here, then community is going to be at the heart of the solution. It's more people connected to more people. So our website is designed to do that. So if you go to that website, that's TWLOHA.com, in the upper right hand corner, you're going to see a bright blue button that says Find Help. The first thing you're going to see on that page is going to be a list of categories and key identifiers. So if you feel like any of those words or phrases or terms relate to you and your personality, you and your life at this moment, then that's going to be a place to key in on some national options for hope and help in those moments. But then if you scroll down a little bit, we have a blue bar that we call our Find Help tool. There you can type a level of care that you're looking for. Maybe that's counseling. Maybe that's peer support. Maybe that's more intensive inpatient options. And then you type in your zip code, and up will pop a list of options that exist within your own neck of the woods. And that's active in every zip code nationwide. So for us, that's a tangible way to prove that you're not alone, a tangible way to prove that people care, that there's people that have dedicated their lives to making sure that you feel heard, that you feel cared for, seen, and valued. And beyond that, we're all over social media. We read and respond to every single message that comes in, be that TikTok to Facebook to our email to Twitter and beyond. We're there to engage with people.
Incredible. Now, you brought up something about you know, the community and networking, and Harbor City Local is a pretty young nonprofit, so we're getting into a lot of the connections that we're looking for. In the history of To Write Love on Our Arms, you know, when a message comes out, you people start latching onto it and building and building. Do you know how long, or, you know, what it took for To Write Love on Our Arms to get that message started?
Man, it was just such the perfect storm of social awareness and social media, honestly. Mm-hmm. People ask us all the time, how do you start a nonprofit? And we often just kind of shrug. We're like, we kind of lucked our way into so much of this. But calling it luck really discredits how many people have been so brave with their story mm-hmm. moving forward. We're a relatively small staff. When I joined the team back, 14 years ago, there were literally five people on full-time staff. I was part of an intern crew of about 16 people, and we were really just doing the best we could with what was available to us. And that was MySpace, and that was the Warped Tour. And mm-hmm. it was a lot of wise people pouring into us, trying to make sure that we're taking the right steps, that we're being wise, that we're being forward-thinking. So often with nonprofits, it's easy to be distracted in the moment, that whatever is most present to you is the most important thing. But if you want this to continue, if you want to, like I mentioned earlier, work yourself out of a job, there has to be some wise voices pouring into what this looks like next week, next month, next year, next decade. So for us, I had a friend who was part of our board for a while, and I remember trying to recruit him to the board and take him out to lunch, and he starts the conversation by saying, y'all do everything wrong, right? And I'm like, oh God, like not how I thought this was gonna start. And he goes, no, but it works for you. So you're based online. No one knows where you're headquartered. Like, that's kind of weird for nonprofits. And you go on tour instead of sending out these mailers. That's kind of weird for nonprofits. Right. And you sell shirts instead of applying for grants. Like, this is all so weird, but it works for you. Don't change that. So for us, like, it's really been about listening. It's been about learning. It's been about humility. And it's been about trusting our audience to a really brave degree, that so many people that learned about To Write Love did not learn about us through a staff member, did not mm-hmm. learn about us through a specific program that we set up, mm-hmm. but they learned about us through people wearing our shirts and asking questions and trusting them with the answers of those questions. I think, like, if I could give any word of wisdom to any burgeoning nonprofit, it'd be to trust your vision and to trust the people that believe in you. Yeah, that's totally invaluable with our story.
And that's how I came to know about you, was Steve Keller.
Yeah.
He promotes you guys like
What's
no
up,
other.
Steve?
Yeah. He wanted to be here. He started a new job. He couldn't do it. But he was wearing a shirt, and I asked about it. And, and we, Harbor City Local, kind of lucked in a bit to your model, because we do something similar. We do events. We sell merch. And it came in a different – it started in a different way, but it's in a similar situation. How receptive was those festivals like Warped Tour into bringing you in?
Yeah. Well, I think it's probably appropriate to start back before Warped Tour brought us in and kind of to day one. So for those of you that aren't familiar with us, one other thing that eventual board member told me was, your name is too long. it's so hard to market who you are. Like, even our acronym, we call it Twaloha, but, depending on regional dialects, we've heard our name called so many different ways. So this started essentially by accident, because it was really based on trying to tell a story, trying to be present to one person's journey. So the name To Write Love on Our Arms, we're not trying to imply that one gender struggles more than any other with mental health challenges, but this is based on a historic and current still living her. Her name is Renee. So 16 years ago, our friend Renee, her story was one of cocaine addiction and self-injury. And on the night before she had agreed to some friends to seek treatment, she had one last binge, and she locked herself in the bathroom. And late that night, she took a razor and she wrote the word fuck up across her left forearm. The next day, she tried to check into treatment, and the treatment center actually turned her away due to the drugs that were still in her system. They said, we don't have a detox unit. Right now, you're too great of a risk. But if you can get clean and stay clean for 5 days, then we can try this again. So this is really where the story takes off, that Renee took a really brave step. And instead of going back to her dealer's house, she crashed at a friend's place, a guy named David. Well, David was also in recovery, so he knew what the next 5 days were going to look like. So while she rested, he rallied the troops. He called some friends together, and they said to her, look, we believe in you. We believe in recovery, but this isn't about you anymore. This is going to be an us thing. We're going to get there together. So for the next 5 days, they took turns just learning each other's stories. They went to basketball games and rock shows to keep her distracted. They got her cigarettes and coffee for the coming down. They got her books for the road ahead. And over those days and nights, this idea emerged and evolved into To Write Love on Our Arms. The idea was what she put on her arm, that fuck up, it wasn't about profanity. This was an issue of identity. Mm-hmm. So To Write Love on Our Arms was to say, hey, we can rewrite this script. So no, Renee, you are not your past. No, Renee, you are not your present situation. Renee, you're even more than what your future potential, whatever that means, is. But the fact that you still have air in your lungs, that's what matters to us. That's what's worthy of our belief. And we're going to be there to see this page turn. So at the end of those 5 days, a guy named Jamie Torkowski, he was David's roommate at the time. He was part of the circle of friends that were really kind of running what they called a rock and roll rehab for their friend. He said, look, if you had an audience for your story, what would you say? And would you even care to share your story? And she said, I think if one person could relate to my story, then maybe there'd be a purpose for some of the pain in my life. So the next day, she checked into treatment, and Jamie sat down and wrote a 2-page story that he called To Write Love on Our Arms for the same reason I told you. And he put the story on MySpace because it was 2006, because that's what we all did. And he made about 200 shirts, black shirts, just said the words To Write Love on Our Arms. The idea was to sell those to help offset her medical costs. And as fate would have it, when the first shirts came through, we had some friends in touring bands that were there as the box was opened. And it was specifically a guy named John Foreman who performs in an act called Switchfoot. And he asked if he could wear the shirt on stage. Jamie said, yeah, man, just pay me back later, whatever. And,
right, yeah.
And as that tour went on, someone in the band would be wearing that shirt every night. And they would say very vaguely, like, hey, check this project out online. It's all about to, you know, it's all going towards helping a friend. So I mentioned all that to say that music was at the heart of what we did. Music was how so many people learned about us. Mm. As Switchfoot was touring, their fans would see the shirt, they'd get curious, they would Google the name, they'd read the story, and they said, man, you know, Renee sounds a lot like my best friend. Renee sounds a lot like my dad. Renee actually sounds a lot like me. Our hope and help options for us as well. So that was the original context of how we got started. And it was really just responding to these messages as they would come in. And over time, the music industry started swelling and more bands started learning about this. So there was really this grassroots movement, and that was happening concurrently with the Warped Tour wanting to do something more than just have a killer day of music. They wanted to inspire a younger generation to give a damn about something, anything. So they started this nonprofit village, which really, besides Lollapalooza, I think like they were one of the first to really prioritize what charities can do in the community. And they invited us on, and that created more relationships, gave us more exposure, got us in front of more faces. And then we just kept pulling that string. Where else can we go? What other opportunities are there? And that's led us somehow into podcasting in our backyard.
And it, you know, it's interesting what you just said about, you know, people's significant others or dads or whatever, because as I'm listening to it, and I'm sure as everyone's listening to it, there's someone in your mind immediately that you know needs these types of outreaches. You know, there's someone that I care for deeply, and that I worry about consistently. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty amazing, that message. And to hear that story, I'm tearing up over here. In all honesty, I'm holding it back for all you out there. But man, that is amazing. Now we're to the Warped Tour. How was that relationship? Was it, you guys can come, or, I mean, was it a promotion? Like, was it, You know, how was that type of...
It was really organic. Mm-hmm. Originally, the first year that we existed, 2006, it was just come out for the days that you can. Again, mm-hmm. this was a small, small project at that time. And so it was just hop on the dates that make sense. And it was always an open door with Kevin Lyman and the Warped Tour. Like, he's a guy that gets it. He's seen mm-hmm. so, so much and cares so, so much and values creativity and communication above anything else. Mm-hmm. So it was invitational. And that nonprofit village definitely was swelling. I feel like I keep coming back to that term, but that's what it felt like. Mm-hmm. It was this almost unchecked and below the surface growth that was happening. This is the same time that Charity Water was really starting. This is the same time that Invisible Children was all the rage. This is when Keep Abreast was, you know, everyone had the I Heart Boobies wristband. Mm-hmm. Like, this was just such a time that people were starting to link. It was a cool time to care. Mm-hmm. You know, right. Like, mm-hmm. before then, you would see these SPCA commercials on your dad's news channel of choice, and you'd see Red Cross, but there wasn't a lot of options for something that felt relatable and accessible and that made you feel like you could do something. Mm-hmm. And that's what so many of these nonprofits represented. Kevin loved that. Kevin Lyman of the Warped Tour loved mm-hmm. that. So what started as a few dates in Florida turned into an invitation of, hey, would you guys want to be on the whole tour? And said, well, we don't really know what that looks like. And he right. gave us some hints. So there were some bands that opened up their tour bus. They had some extra wow. spots and said, cool. Hey, you can ride with us. And it was always...
That's an adventure.
It was always free right. to set up there in the nonprofit village. And really our only costs were associated with printing the shirts and paying for a bunk spot, which is effectively just, you know, a moving hotel. Mm-hmm. Warped Tour at that point was a absolute behemoth. That mm-hmm. was where you were going to get your music if
every
you came from
summer.
The punk hardcore yeah. emo scene. Like yeah. That was that. And you know, over time we realized these issues are not just punk hardcore emo issues.
That's what I was just
100%
ask. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we started asking questions. Look, like, who are we not reaching? Mm-hmm. What are the ways that we can get in front of more people? Not for marketing, mm-hmm. but because we know people often don't ask for the help that mm-hmm. exists for one of two reasons. One, they either don't know who to ask, and we know of some great resources. We can do that. And then two, I'm not even sure if it's okay to ask. Am I allowed to ask mm-hmm. for help? So really, that's the main reason we show up to places like podcasts, like high schools, like colleges, mm-hmm. like music festivals, is to be living proof that you can ask some hard questions and not be struck by lightning, not spontaneously exactly. combust. You can ask a hard question. You can even tear up and you can still exist after that moment, mm-hmm. that this is a story that's still going. But please make sure that your story has an audience. Mm-hmm. So from there we started hitting up places like Sasquatch Music Festival out, rest in peace. I love mm-hmm. that event. Out in Washington State, we started going to South by Southwest. We started going to Bonnaroo and Firefly and Electric Forest. And now we're about as present in the EDM world as we ever were in the punk hardcore emo world. So mm-hmm. it's not like, we're not picking favorite genres. We're just trying to be where people come together.
Sure.
Where the journey goes to.
Right, yeah, right, right, right.
Yeah. That's it. But so you would say Warped Tour opened the door.
For
and
sure.
And you guys walked through it. And on the other side, it was plenty of avenues to go down.
Plenty of avenues and plenty of questions.
Yeah.
Just what else can we learn? Who yeah. else can we meet? Where else should we be firing these emails off to? Yeah.
So do you have your own tour bus yet?
we do have, I don't know if two makes a fleet, but right. we do have two bands that often are crossing paths and on different journeys throughout the summer.
That's great.
So, you know, when we're not battling a pandemic, we're mm-hmm. we're generally at about 40 to 50 live music and lifestyle events each year. And, mm-hmm. you know, that was...
That's awesome. I need to volunteer.
It's yeah.
Like, let's go on the road.
Oh man, like it's wild. Like yeah. for so long, people were familiar with us, but we were kind of anonymous in our own backyard, which is right. why I jumped at the opportunity to be here on this podcast. And that's why I love people like Steve. Again, shout out number two to Steve Keller, like to get us out to places like Space Coast Music Festival, to be active in our hometown is something that is so important. We've been all over. We've done Europe. We've done Australia. We've done, every state, I think, save from Montana, has had an official To Write Love an event at some point. But yeah, it's always a pleasure to just drive up the road 4 miles and see what's good.
It almost sounds like you're in demand for like a chapter unit, like a European chapter, Australian chapter.
It's
get to that where you have like actually like little groups still working that those areas.
And I think, you know, again, to a lesser degree, we've seen that happen in a grassroots way.
Right.
The same way that, you know, you learned about To Write Love is the same way that our friends in Belgium learned about To Write Love. We've had interns
from Steve Keller.
From Steve Keller specifically, yeah. But from those conversations,
right.
and you know, from there, like, you know, I'll be honest, we still have a lot more research to do in how we build out our Find Help network. We're hungry for, like I mentioned earlier, connecting more people to more people. Mm-hmm. So wherever we go, we want to do what we do responsibly. Mm-hmm. I think it's one thing to talk about hard things like mental health, and it's another thing to be cognizant of the consequences of opening up this conversation. If I'm not prepared to open my heart to your story when you talk about a friend or a loved one, then I did a bad job, right? Like, I think consistency is our biggest gift that we can give people, is offering something that is the same experience whether you are sending us a tweet and asking for help or seeing us at a booth and asking for help, and making sure that those responses and that posture is consistent, is congruent, is aligned. So before we, open up To Write Love in London, we want to be sure that
that'd be epic though.
That would be sick. And I'd be the first to sign up, but we definitely want to be sure that we are serving our community well, and our state well, and our region well, and our country well. So,
I guess that'd be a good next step. Get it to where it is duplicatable and fine tune it, you know, whatever it is, and, you know, maybe be able to get it around a little bit easier, you know, put it in like a nice manageable package.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a horrible idea in any way, shape, or form. I also say, for any of y'all listening and, you know, just wondering, like, what are ways that you can get involved? There certainly are. You know, whether that's volunteerism, or if you want to apply to intern for us, or even if you have specific job skills that you want to lend towards us, we definitely have opportunities to keep this train going, to build it longer and to make it faster and more efficient. And so, yeah, so if you have any questions about that, this is an awkward plug, but Tualoha.com/jobs. And we're always looking for more good people to welcome into the family.
Well, yep. And I noticed, because I follow your Instagram a lot, and I noticed that you, like, do you have continuous internship, or it looked like you kind of put out an internship, like, we're doing interns at this time.
Yeah.
You know?
So the internship was my original context of getting involved with To Write Love. Mm-hmm. I moved down in very late May of 2008 from Virginia, and said, look, I'm here to volunteer until I'm broke, and then I'll enter the job force. And then I never left. So our internship has been really one of our most consistent pieces of our story. And even with that consistency, it's looked different from age to age. But we do offer internships in this era of the pandemic remotely. So if someone is listening or watching this and is not in Brevard, we still have options for you to help in a really intentional way. So those internships run 3 times a year. So we have a spring term, a summer term, and a fall term. If you're a student, then we can work with your school to line this up with your degree program. And there's, you know, really the only age limit is you have to be 18 by the time you apply. And then it goes on and on. Like there's no upper limit to caring about mental health. So there's three terms. I believe our applications are currently live for the summer. Mm-hmm. I may be wrong. Check the Instagram. and Amber, our excellent intern director, please don't yell at me if you see this and I botch the dates.
Oops, I'm sure Amber will give you hell.
Yeah. I deserve it.
Speaking of dates, is it time to talk about some events coming up? Or have we already jumped to that? I don't think we've talked about some of the events.
No, not.
Yeah. We talked about you touring.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you have your... You have a warehouse sale coming up?
We do, yeah. So for those of you that live in Florida, we're welcoming you. It's almost like kind of Charlie and Chocolate Factory, like welcome you into our building for the first time since it's been closed for the pandemic. So on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of next week, that's the 21st, 22nd, and 23rd, we are having a warehouse sale. We would love to... pay for the shipping for you. We would love to give you an opportunity to have a first crack at some of our brand new designs, get a sneak peek at some of our upcoming campaigns, and also to get involved with another event coming up, which is our annual 5K. So some of y'all may remember we used to do a live in-person 5K event at the Schechter Center.
Right.
The pandemic kind of put a damper on that, but we have gone fully virtual with this. It's a fundraising campaign as well. We're trying to raise $100,000 specifically tagged for treatment and recovery, connecting people to the options for hope and help that they deserve. But that is on the 23rd. We call it the Run For It 5K, and our focus statement this year is here I am, here we are, moving forward. The whole point of it is really to link mental health and physical health. The idea is, look, it's all health. Mm-hmm. That this idea of bifurcating what is the mental and emotional you versus the physical you is really a silly separation. Mm-hmm. Like, this is all of you, and we want to celebrate all of you. We want to give you opportunities to investigate all of you, to learn more about yourself and how your mental health and physical health are always at play with one another. So if you come out to the warehouse sale, we're going to have opportunities for you to sign up for that virtual 5K. So warehouse sale.
/open house. Yeah, I like that.
Open half the house. We'll open the warehouse side of it. Yeah.
Yeah. But at least have the signups available.
Yes.
Have the merch for sale.
Exactly.
And where is it located again?
That's going to be at our office, which is right on the west end of downtown Melbourne. Okay. We're going to have some signs posted up at some of our favorite spots. Like
near Kreiderman's?
Right near Kreiderman's. That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So get yourself some barbecue. Come on by. Maybe go to Kreiderman's first and then pick up a new shirt, because if you get the shirt and you go to barbecue, you're just begging for sauce on that. Right. So.
I used to live right by the post office down there.
Right on.
And it took Keller again to, you know, show me the symbol on the building that matched your guys' words, because it's not the word.
That's right. Yeah, just a geometric. We call that our quiet title.
Yeah. So. No, it's great. It's actually brilliant. With that 5K, if I was reading the Instagram right, you know, there's a lot of different ways that people can kind of participate in that, as long as it's physical, right?
Totally. So, I mean, Run For It is really just there as a short place holding word for a campaign, but walk for it, roll for it. We had a staff member actually do line dancing for it last year. She mapped out how many steps it would take to do a 5K if she were just line dancing nonstop, and she did that. Kayak, you know, paddleboard, whatever. But so much of it is really about being active in your community. One thing that I've learned in my personal health journey is how many people are aware of the things that you do. The times I'll pop into Bagel World and John there will say, "Hey man, how's the running going?" And I hadn't seen him for like a month. He's like, I see you every morning hitting the pavement. Like, that's awesome. So now, like, this is, you know, throw on a shirt, join the thousands of people worldwide. We've had runners sign up in all 50 states and like 30 yeah. countries at this point that are going to be active on the 23rd of April to show that, that you can move for something that matters mm-hmm. and you happen to matter. So,
and you raise most of your or all of your fundraising through merchandise and things like that?
So for that campaign, actually the fundraising is totally independent from the merch sales.
Mm-hmm.
So the merch is really sick this year. I'm super stoked on it. It feels different than previous campaigns, but all of the fundraising, and let me find the exact numbers for that right now, is all through peer-to-peer fundraising. So right now we are looking at just shy of $85,000 raised for that $100,000 goal, which is incredible. And these are all people that have joined our fundraising campaign through a website called Classy. So if you just go to Twiloha.com/5K, I believe that'll get you there, or type in runforit5k.com. That's kind of our central hub for all that. The beautiful part of that is not the money. The beautiful part is people signing up to share their journey with their community. You know, through the magic of the internet, you may not have talked to Aunt Bertha in 5 years, but if you post that you're doing this 5K walk or run or roll or what have you, maybe that's an entry point into conversation with an estranged family member to say, wow, like, I love that my family cares about mental health. I love that my family cares about my story. So the connecting points is so much more exciting than the money, but the money does go to help us connect people to tangible outlets for hope and help.
Amazing. You guys have been rocking and rolling. And the comment earlier, you mentioned, like, you know, MySpace and the Facebook days. I remember when you guys were campaigning for, I think it was like a battle of like nonprofits for a grant. And I remember just getting like, you know, messaged. I mean, it was a good campaign, like pushing, like, please vote, please vote. You guys ended up winning it.
We did. Yeah.
So that was
I mean, a minute ago, but.
It was a minute ago. But that's when I remember you got on my radar.
Like, that's awesome.
And then following the story ever since has been pretty cool.
Then it worked. It worked. Yeah. And again, like, that was the magic of that moment was, you know, the $1 million was really cool. Being able to spend that on some dreams of doing a coast-to-coast tour was really, really awesome and impactful. And the things that we learned from that tour turned into our Find Help tool. Like, all of this is stepping stones where we are never going to claim that we figured it out.
Right.
But we're constantly trying to see what's next. What else can we do? How can we serve y'all better? But the magic was, you know, Jesse finding out about us and how many other people.
Sure.
And so, yeah, just I think it comes down to this. And I mention this all the time when the conversation turns to money, that mental health is not a problem that you can throw money at and it will go away. I remember my first boss at To Write Love, a guy named Byron. We had a really candid conversation talking about how do we work ourselves out of this job. And and he says, all right, Chad, I'm going to hand you a $100 bill.
Mm-hmm.
End suicide with this $100 bill. And I'm like, okay, where are you going with this? He goes, well, I mean, you could go in any number of directions. You could throw this money directly at a suicide prevention hotline, make sure that their phone bill is paid.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good job of that money. You could use this money to give to a counseling practice to increase their slush fund so that the next person that comes through the door that can't quite pay, that will cover their treatment for that day.
Right.
That is a good use of that money. You can take that money and take your friend that you know is going through hell right now out to the best dinner of their life to make sure that they know that you were there for them and that you care and that their presence, their existence matters to you. And that's a good use of that. So all that to say, like, money is simply it comes down to gas money, right? Like, don't confuse gasoline for the car.
Mm-hmm.
We're still trying to move these vehicles in as many different directions as possible. And the money makes that possible. But who's ever driving the car, that's the important part. That's the
right.
what's really at the heart of this is the human connection to it. So yeah, we know that we can do so much with this, but we know that we can also do so much in just inspiring people to listen to this podcast, to share it with friends and family, to ask hard questions and to be there for hard answers and to prove that someone is a little bit less alone than they originally feared.
Absolutely.
Now, with the aspect of you guys doing the music and your whole, for lack of a better word, the marketing of what you have feels very youthful. Do you feel that you target a certain age group, or do you feel that a certain age group struggles the most?
We've heard this question kind of unfold in a number of different ways, mm-hmm. and that was a very gentle way that you pushed it. You know, we've even had people over the years accuse us of preying on the adolescent experience, and to us, we're just saying we want to go where the conversation is welcome, and for whatever reason, and we could name probably 20 with very little effort, the younger generations have always been the ones to push the envelope a little bit further, that we've learned lessons on how to talk about mental health from our parents, from our mentors, from the people that raised us, and they're learning from the people that raised them. And you have two different types of ways to receive that information. You can either remodel that. You can take what was given to you and say, this is the right way to address it. Or you can say, that was not sufficient. How can we do this better? And again, the hope is just to keep rolling that ball just a little bit further. So we found that, no, we're not going to close our doors to you because you've aged out of To Write Love in Our Arms. That's mm-hmm. that's impossible.
Right.
But we're at a really exciting point in our story that not only have we been able to grow up with our audience, we've been able to reset as our audience has also reset. So the folks that were learning about us when they were 17 at Warped Tour in 2006, they're in their 30s now. Mm-hmm. Many of them probably have started a parenting journey. Many of those parenting journeys are probably knocking on the door of middle school and maybe even high school, of some prime years for anguish. And we've seen time and again these people that have been tracking with us from the early days say, thank you for still existing. This gives me an open door to talk to my son, to my daughter, to my child about what lies ahead and ways that they can ask for help down the road. One of my favorite conversations, though, happened our first year at Bonnaroo, where this Vietnam vet who was in his 70s came by the booth. He lived in Manchester in the town that Bonnaroo is based.
Right.
And he said, I got a free ticket because I'm a local and I don't know what I'm doing here. and we end up chatting for That's 30 funny. Minutes about community, about the VA, about pouring his story into younger vets and trying to prove that it's okay to ask for help. And that dude ended up buying a bunch of wristbands so that he could give them to his group counseling session. Like,
wow.
Man, like there's, we don't hone in on any one demographic, but we want to make the biggest splash as possible. And we found that that the younger generation are, there is no threshold of creativity that they're not going to cross in order to connect with one another. Social media platforms that did not exist when I started working here that we're still trying to navigate through the help of younger supporters.
When you bring up two things that we're kind of associating with is, you know, the journey takes you where the journey takes you. You know, you do what you can, you walk through the doors that you can, and the doors that you walk through, you know, led you to these younger generations,
yeah.
and you identify what needs are there. How we've been responding to that is, as we're working towards making educational differences in the area, I teach high school, and I know that a lot of kids at the high school level have already determined their self-worth in education. So our whole big point of what we're trying to do educationally is meet 7th grade students and 8th grade students to, you know, because that's when they start to make up their mind on where they're at in their education.
Right.
And so you're right. You know, it's not a matter of, you know, a callous vision. It's you walk through the doors that you can, you make the differences that you can, and you identify where those changing points are.
Right.
So I definitely understand what you're saying.
Well, it's all about adaptability, right? Mm-hmm. Like you find what works and you figure out what hasn't worked, even in the midst of things that you thought were home run programs, mm-hmm. or home run lesson plans or you name it. Mm-hmm. But like we mentioned earlier, 7.7 billion people means that 7.7 billion ways that we hurt, but also 7.7 billion smiles that we can eventually see if we dig in, if we stay put, if we stay in each other's lives, honestly. And man, just hats off to you. Like school is so much more than just, you know, passing the FSAs. Like, and you know that I'm preaching in the choir, but there's so much that goes into all of our experiences. If you're a student, you know, there's so much that you are absorbing day in and day out that's not a lesson plan. If you are in the workforce, there's so much that goes into your life that is not directly tied to your paycheck. I think it's important to note how much of our life is really kind of buttressed by information that we're not choosing to absorb or not. It's just part of being human, that this is stuff that we're just kind of taking in. And that can be overwhelming, but if we do it right, it can also be perspective enhancing.
Mm-hmm.
I remember years ago, I was sitting in on a panel about suicide prevention, and someone asked if I could define suicide. And obviously their question was not just, you know, can I recite Webster's dictionary?
Right.
But for me, I kind of came up with this working definition that suicide is the fatal result of a restricted perspective. That when our depression, when our anxiety has sealed us off from other people, and that is the only way that we can view ourselves, our world, that's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
So to break through that, we need wise voices. We need more voices to help remind us of things that are true that we've forgotten along the way. Teach us new things to help us reframe the world around us. And this is not a light switch conversation. It's not off and on, but it's all analog. It's all turn this a little bit louder. It's all make this a little bit brighter. We can find beauty in that gray, but we got to find that together. Self-care is not going to be self-manifesting
mm-hmm.
at all times. It's going to need conversation.
1,000%. Sorry, I'm just thinking about someone again. Let me get my thought back here. You know, you talk about the community, and educationally for us, when we know that a student is struggling or that they've given up on stuff, usually that's not an individual process. That usually means the family struggling. Now, I imagine through your websites, there are those types of things, but do you run into more of a group dynamic or family dynamics with, you know, some of your own things that you've been through with To Write Love in Our Arms?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, at risk of, you know, just bringing it back to solely like an athletic and a sports metaphor, like you're exactly right. Like having a hurt toe does not just mean it's only your toe that's going to hurt.
Mm-hmm.
How is that going to affect the rest of your foot, the rest of your leg, you know, potentially the rest of your body if this injury is severe enough or just goes ignored for too long? So you're right. Like just because there's a student hurting, that probably does point to some sense of disconnect, some dis-ease mm-hmm. within the family. We have over the past couple years, this is actually a program that we started right before the pandemic started, which was such unfortunate timing, but we started mm-hmm. a high school specific mental health hygiene program. We call it Between the Bells, just kind of acknowledging what we were just talking about, that right. So much of life at school happens between mm-hmm. classes, that there is life between that. So this is a week-long crash course of really just kind of modeling proper mental health conversation, equipping students to be the torchbearers of mental health conversation the years to go. And we've seen time and again of parents who have emailed in and saying, I am so shocked and thrilled to see my child, my student, talk about these things that that we all know exist, right? Like, we're not trying to convince you that depression is real or that suicide is a problem or that addiction needs to be treated with more compassion than litigation. But so often we do need to convince people that that hope is real, that there are options for help. And this is just a crack in that door. We're seeing students start the conversations on behalf of their parents. We've seen teachers seek out counseling so that they can be better teachers to their students. We've just seen this play out in so many beautiful ways. And if you're listening and you're an administrator or a teacher and you're curious about how to bring this program to your school, then just toloha.com/high school will tell you how you can get set up with that. We've done it virtually. We've done it, in homeschool environments. We've done it in private and public schools. But these are conversations that don't play favorites, right? Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we have contacts with a lot of the schools in the area, and I would love to champion bringing that to Brevard County.
Don't you dare threaten me with a good time.
No, that sounds like something that you and I are going to talk about in a lot
more. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, I know we're probably getting close here, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Winding down.
Okay. So, one thing that I wanted to come back to is this internship program. Hmm. I think sometimes when you bring up internship or you bring up, jobs, people might not feel qualified for them. Mm. What is a typical day for an intern so that the people out there that, care and want to participate aren't saying, well, I mean, obviously I'm not qualified for that.
Yeah. I would say, man, this is so much easier for me to say and at risk of sounding trite. Don't say no to yourself. Mm-hmm. Send the email, send in the application. We have a number of different programs that make To Write Love in Our Arms what it is. A lot of people know about us through social media, know about us through merchandise, know about us through events. But if you have a passion for business administration, we have a place for you here. If you have a desire to learn more about or help us do better in the world of live streaming, we have a place for you here. If you have a desire to just make sure we're reaching enough partners to reach our financial goals, we have a place for you here. So we don't select interns, based on just filling specific buckets of what we do. We want people that are passionate and people that are self-motivated. The internship is remote at this point, but we also want people that can reveal to us places that we can keep doing this mission a little bit better. You get to expand our perspective. So we're not looking for disciples and acolytes. We're looking for people that are passionate that we can continue to learn from. Because it's remote, you won't be fetching me coffee. You won't be doing gopher jobs, but you're going to be able to use your passions, use your unique skill set to help us reach as many people as possible. So all interns get the same level of training that our staff does. You learn from counselors about the topics that we address. You get opportunities to sit in on conferences with us. You get, you're not, kind of closed off from the rest of the staff. In fact, community is what makes us, I think, who we are. You get to develop professionally, but also personally in the presence of your coworkers who will, if we do this right, continue to be your friend down the road. So you get to answer messages on our behalf. You get to be part of our message response team. You get to learn a ton about mental health, and you get to learn about what makes a small business really run, and that is you. So, okay. Yeah.
Excellent.
But don't tell yourself no. Send in the application.
Excellent. Okay, so last thing, I guess, to talk about is, you guys participated in the Space Coast Music Festival last year?
We did.
How'd we do?
I loved it. Are y'all coming back?
November 5th, we will be back in the Augelli Arts District.
Can I come back?
1,000%.
Incredible. It was such a great day. I mean, it was windy as all get out. But yeah, it was such a beautiful representation of this community, hearing all the music, seeing all the families, eating all the food, like just being at the heart of what so many people and even I have dubbed as a sleepy surf town, seeing the vibrancy, seeing the life. Ogalle Arts District is one of the coolest places in Florida. It's a hidden gem. Yep. And just such a joy to see people flock there. And yeah, just having no shortage of excuses to smile and to learn more about their community. It was, you know, there were people that we met there that had known about us from day one, and people who had known about us from day one and had no idea that this is where we called home. So
right.
It was so cool. So much fun.
Very cool. Well, I appreciate that. Do you have any final statements, any questions?
Oh, man. Yeah, I would just certainly want to encourage you guys to check us out for a warehouse sale, to get involved through our 5K. And then, as many of y'all know, May is Mental Health Month. So we're going to be launching our fifth annual campaign that we call Black and White, where we hone in on some statements that we see as non-negotiable as it comes to you and your mental health journey and us and our story. So I can't spill the beans on that yet, but keep an eye on our social media, on our podcast. I guess, well, you can keep an eye on our podcast now. We're doing video now. So we have a number of different touch points in order to equip you to help carry forward these conversations of mental health. But beyond that, yeah, just earnestly want to thank you for existing. And I want to thank y'all for having us. And I want to thank, of course, Steve Keller, shout out number three. So I need to get that punch card out. And
Right.
But no, man, it's an honor to be here in this town and in this studio with y'all.
100%, Chad. Thanks so much for sharing.
Yeah, thank you.
I mean, I learned a lot even having been a fan for so many years.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Excellent. I do want to throw a couple shout outs to Right Love in Our Arms, Chad, for being in the studio today, Jesse, Space Coast Podcast, always, you know, hooking us up and, you know, treating us right, and the volunteers that have been doing a lot for Harbor City Local to get us moved into the new explosion that we've had over the last year. Stay tuned for more information on Punk in the Park that we're doing with the 518 Skate shop. It's their 1 year anniversary, and with the proceeds going to charity.
Awesome.
And we have an amazing giant headliner going to be announced very soon. Not yet, but stay tuned. And if you're a vendor out there that is like, how do I sign up? Those links are coming very, very soon this week. Want to send a shout out to the Space Coast Young Professionals with the Melbourne Chamber for throwing us a fundraiser a couple Wednesdays ago.
That was a fun party.
Yeah, Intercoastal Groove Shack bands came out. It was good to see the kids, playing some classic hits for us and contemporary hits. And they raised $500 for us, so thank you so much.
That's so awesome. Thank you, guys.
Yeah. And if you're interested to know more about Harbor City Local, what we do, educational partnerships, definitely hit us up on our socials. And you'll also find a card that has links to our YouTube channel, all our socials, our website. You can contact us through our website. And we just appreciate everyone for listening. Again, check out To Write Love on Our Arms, TWOLA.com.
Oh, very close. TWLOHA.com.
Yeah, there we go. Excellent. Again, Chad, thank you for being here.
Right on. Thanks for having me.
We're definitely going to talk soon. I'm excited about this Between the Bells thing. I can't even stop thinking about it. But till next time, Harbor City Local TV, Space Coast Podcast, To Write Love on Our Arms. See you next time.
our zone. Breathing in the air, I'm all alone. Still I'm